Well, good evening and welcome to Steadfast. I am so glad to be with you tonight. And as we are together tonight, I want to ask you an important question. Where does your water come from? You might say, Tim, why are you asking me that question? This is supposed to be a Bible study. What's it matter where my water comes from? Well, I think it matters actually to us a lot. You think about it, say it's a hot summer day and you're walking down the street and you're really thirsty and you see a bottle of water sitting alongside the road. Are you going to pick it up and drink it? Probably not. And then if you walk over to it and you realize, well, not only is it just a strange bottle sitting on the side of the road, it's a bottle that's been opened already. Someone's already drank part of it. You're probably especially not going to drink it because you don't really know where it came from. If there's anything that's been put in it that might be contaminated. If you're at home, though, you probably will go over to the faucet, get a drink of water. That's not so bad, right? But now imagine for a moment that you got a letter from the municipal water company, and it said, we're so pleased to invest in new technology to make your water bill more affordable. And so we're proud to tell you that we've come up with this great new filtration system. We've actually hooked our pipe straight up to the wastewater plant, and we filter the water, and it comes right back in. Because of that, we can offer you new low prices on water. Do you think you'd go over and get a drink? I don't think I would, because I care about where my water is coming from, and I certainly don't want it coming straight from the sewage back down the pipes into my glass and into my mouth. No matter how much they told me about the filtration, I just wouldn't be comfortable with it. Maybe sometimes you wonder, and yet, what do we do? We know that there are regulations out there that the government won't allow the local water company to just tap straight into the sewer plant and start selling us that water. There might be an expose 5 years from now where it comes out that the water company really had been doing that, and we'll all be horrified, but for now, I'm operating on the principle I know where that water is sourced from, and that matters to me. I want to know that before I drink it. But how often as we pick up bottles of blessings and challenges in life, we pick up those bottles and we don't really properly think about the sourcing before we live in accordance to them. I think about the sourcing of that water before I decide whether I'm going to drink it or not. But when we're talking about blessing, James is going to challenge us tonight to think about the sourcing too. Because if we're receiving blessing, we know where it's coming from. And if we know that that source is God, that affects how we live and how we tell other people about our God. It's so important that we understand that, because a lot of times we act as if, well, God might be sometimes giving me water that's pure and clean, and sometimes maybe I'm getting that refiltered sewage. And is that coming from God too? We talked about that a little last week, but we're going to delve into that more this week, because it's really important for us to understand that God always does what is good for us. Let's pray that we can see that tonight, and then we'll dig right in to James, starting with verse 16 of chapter 1. Let's pray. Father, would you help us to be those who understand that everything good comes from you? Would you help us to see that? Would you help us to feel that? Because, Lord, sometimes it's really hard for us. We start to wonder if maybe you do mix in some things that aren't really blessing, that aren't really good. But Lord, would you reassure us that your love is constant and true? Therefore, we can live with that confidence and we can share that confidence with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a look here at verse 16 of chapter 1. James says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." It's really important when you think about that, isn't it? Because what if God does have shadow of change? What if he isn't always the same? I mentioned a moment ago, I trust, generally speaking, I turn on my tap and I get a glass of water. I trust that water is going to be okay for me to drink, that I can count on it. But if I did hear that expose, I could say a couple of things. One, I'd be disappointed, maybe even horrified. Maybe not utterly shocked that yet again there's a scandal with something that we thought we could trust. And then I'd realize I need to act differently. we're so used to that now. You look at surveys, people don't trust our government or other big institutions or small institutions. We don't trust the things around us. And it's not because we just like being cynical. It's because we see over and over again those things happen. We think we can trust something and it lets us down. And so the question is, when we talk about God, is he giving us 50% pure clean water and 50% sewage, 75% clean and 25%, 90 and 10? If it were your water supply, how much sewage would you say was too much? Put that in the comments if you want. But I think I know what most of us would say. Any sewage is too much sewage. When we think about God and his interaction with us, though, that doesn't seem to be as clear to us. We're told over and over again that God's faithful, but we think, well, today's been really hard. These bad things have happened. Maybe God put those in my life. And James last week said clearly God doesn't tempt, but he wants us to have an even clearer perspective here. God is the one who provides what is good, and we can consistently trust in that. My water company may have provided pure, clean water for the last however many decades they've been around, and then next year cut a corner and provide contaminated water. But here's the thing I can know. God doesn't change. So important that James says that. God doesn't change. So I know that God has always offered pure, clean blessing, pure, clean love, and he's going to continue to provide pure and clean love. I'm not going to hear that expose in 5 years. It turns out that God really has been cutting corners and putting all kinds of lead into my water or something. He's not going to do that. He's constant and dependable. How can we trust this? Because lots of places, lots of people, lots of things like to claim that we can trust that they are the ones, that there is the steadfast rock. How can we trust that God is that? Well, Scripture says it over and over again, and what do you know? It also shows his track record. We can look from the very beginning pages of Scripture all the way to the end of it, and we see a consistent picture, a picture that harmonizes together and speaks of how God consistently loves his people. His people may not be steadfast. His people may not consistently love God with pure, clean love. But God loves us. God isn't tempting us, what we talked about last week, and God isn't sending us bad, horrible things. God's going to do what's good and true for us. Now, it doesn't mean he's always going to give us exactly what we want. Sometimes what we want isn't even good. Sometimes we don't even know until the moment what it is that we actually need. Talking about water earlier. You know what you need when you start to cough? You need a drink. And I can talk all about those bottles of water that are hypothetical, good, bad, or indifferent. That tap water, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. But bringing a nice cup of coffee, that is so refreshing. If you've been with me for a while, you know how much I love coffee. But seriously, if there's something that's drinkable, that's safe to drink, and suddenly you're struggling to deal with a cough because there's not perfectly clean air, right? There's pollen in the air right now. Boy, is it nice to get that drink. And it doesn't matter how refreshing that water I don't have would be. It's what's in the mug right now that's going to refresh me or not. Well, God's going to refresh each and every one of us. And we can think of the blessing we wish we had. But what Scripture wants us to understand is the blessing we actually have is what's going to refresh us in this moment. As we cough and we choke on sin, God is there. So many good things in life, so many things that we want in life that we don't necessarily know that we can trust are going to be there over and over again. Sometimes it's not malice, what I've referred to so far. It sounds like malice, right? Someone choosing to contaminate the water to save money or whatever. Sometimes it's just the unreliability of life and circumstances. For example, a few years ago, there was this place, this restaurant down in Bourbon, Missouri, had the best French silk pie ever. It was so good. And then it closed. And I went on a search. I wanted to find something like it. I'd tried different restaurants' French silk pies. I'd tried grocery stores' French silk pies. I couldn't find anything that was like this French silk pie. It was just so pure and good and chocolatey and that, oh, just so good. And then last year, just by happenstance, I stumbled across the fact that Sam's Club, of all places, they had a wonderful French silk pie, and it was very, very similar to that one I'd been looking for. It was so good. And then couple weeks later, it was just this was just chocolate pie bliss. It was like chocolate pie manna from heaven. I found out that Kroger, which there's only one in our entire area, it's out in Troy, Missouri. They have a French silk pie too. A little different, but absolutely delicious. Deep, rich chocolate. Not overly sweet, just pure chocolate goodness. It's so good. Well, then Easter or thereabouts rant came around, and I suppose that's the season for Sam's Club. They quit offering their French silk pie. I'm hoping it comes back this winter, but so far it has not returned since then. So then there was just that one at Kroger, and I found myself a little nervous ever since because, as delicious as that pie is, I keep thinking about the fact there's only one Kroger left in the entire state. Maybe two. I think there might be one over by Kansas City or something I read about, but there's this one here. And I keep thinking, what if the regional manager looks and says, there's that one store we have in Missouri. Maybe we should just close it. It's not efficient to drive a truck up there. And they close down that store and that French silk pie goes away. Every time I eat it, I think, I sure hope this isn't the last time I eat this pie. As good as it is, I don't know that it's going to remain. And sometimes, even when we're receiving blessing from God, we think, well, there's blessing right now, but what about in the future? What about later in my life? What about an eternal life? Can I trust that it's going to keep coming? What if God decides, you know, Tim, you're not really an efficient enough region. I'm going to go divert my resources and put them someplace that I think is more economical. What if God does that? But James says we can actually look at our lives and have confidence because of our lives that God is constant and unchanging. Take a look as we move on to verse 18. What are we told here? As we look at verse 18, James says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. The word of truth. And then he goes on and says that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now I want us to think about that first part initially. James here is saying something really important from the get-go. You're not here as a mistake. You're not here accidentally or randomly. God brought you forth into this world by his will. And then it ties into the second part, which says, not just our biological life, that is a gift from God. We see in Acts 17 that in him we live and move and have our being. But so much more than that, because he ties it to the word of truth. Our rebirth, if we trust in Jesus and we receive eternal life, that's not just random. God didn't just put a bunch of leaflets out and say, well, if someone picks it up, I'll save that person. No, God cares specifically about you. He cares specifically about me. And so when I look at my life, both my physical being and the fact that as I trust in Jesus, I know that he loves me and he's promised that that love is unchanging. The very fact that that's true right now, that assures me of what's to come. Because what do we see over and over again? God's consistent. But God is consistent even in our lives. And sometimes we doubt that. Sometimes we wonder if things aren't quite coming together how we hoped. We run into some bumps and difficulties. I'm right there with you. I don't have everything figured out. But if I stop and think about it, and I think about the fact that God loves me, and I think about even the fact that I'm taking a breath right now, that that's something that God chose for me to be able to do, what does it tell me? Well, the things I can't see yet, I can trust that God is going to work in those things. And we talk about being saved from our sin and having that relationship with God. Sure, every blessing we hope for, every blessing even that God intends for us, it might not be here now, but boy, is that a good gift we have right now to tell us that there is more to come, that God isn't done yet. That the refreshment, well, it's partial right now, but it's going to keep coming. It's going to be pure and clean and good. I like what John Calvin says in reflecting on this passage as we think about this light imagery that James is using. James is using the picture of the lights in the sky, the stars and the sun and the moon. As we think about that and how there's this constancy to it, that God made this universe, that we know what time the sun and the moon are going to rise and set in a given day, wherever we are in the world, and we can count on it, that's really a picture of how we deal with this life and our understanding of how God's working, even in a moment that feels kind of dark. Because it's getting pretty dark outside, isn't it? And a month ago, you could have looked at an almanac or website and seen, well, yeah, it's going to be dark at this time. We know that happens as the seasons progress, and we know it happens with consistency that can be predicted. But we also know whether the sun stays up for a long time in our particular locale at this moment, or it's setting earlier and earlier and rising later and later. Whatever the case, we know that that will change with the seasons again, and that on individual days the sun might be down. But I'm not here with you tonight thinking, I wonder if the sun's still bright. Are you wondering that? No, of course not. We're not wondering that because we know, okay, the sun has moved on. It's on a different part of the earth right now that it's focused its light on as our earth turns, but it still is bright. And tomorrow, that sun's going to be shining again. I might not know the individual weather of the day, but I know that the sun itself is very consistent. Now, yes, if God chooses to let the universe go for long enough, the sun does have a limited lifespan, but we're talking in absolutely mind-boggling terms. For all intents and purposes, it's pretty consistent. And James uses that metaphor of something that's more consistent than most things we experience to point us to the one thing we can know is utterly consistent. Because in any of our lifespans, we know that the movements of the stars in the sky, the setting and rising of the sun, those are things we can count on because they happen the same day in and day out, and we can look into the centuries ahead even and know what they're going to do. That's pretty consistent. And James is taking that pretty consistent thing to say, here's something even more consistent. And that's where Calvin draws us here, because a lot of times, yes, we go out at night in our physical world and it's dark, but we know it's going to get light again. We don't wonder about that. But when we're actually talking about the experience of our lives, of our spiritual health, of our assessment of where we are in life, we go out into the night moments of our life and we wonder, is God's love going to rise again? Can I count on it? Has it maybe set for the last time in my life? And here's what we're told over and over again in Scripture, and what we see demonstrated over and over again in Scripture, and the very fact that we exist. God's love keeps rising. And the fact that we can't see it in a particular moment doesn't mean that it's not shining just as brightly. It might be obscured in this moment, but God's love is there, and we can count on His love. That as we realize that we are from God, and that God chose to have you here, that you can know that the God who chooses to have you here, to give you this life and to enable you to continue to have this life, is also the God who, as you turn to Him, if you trust in Jesus, He's not ever going to pull that love away from you. Now, Scripture does say that those who don't trust in Jesus, those who don't turn towards the Lord, well, there will be a time that that light is shut off. But if you respond to the word of truth, as James says, to the gospel, and you say, Jesus, I need you as my Lord and my Savior, and you trust in Him, you can know that the question's over with. It's already been answered. There is no question about whether God is going to continue to love you or not. And even when it gets dark in the moment, it's like going outside after Steadfast tonight and looking and seeing, oh, it's dark. You don't have to ask if the sun's going to be there tomorrow, and you don't have to ask if God's love is going to be there tomorrow. It is, and we can trust in that. And in that, then, we have the opportunity, as we trust in Him, to show a preview of the world to come. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Paul writes, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong Christ. Now, when Paul is talking about first fruits, he has in mind Jesus specifically. We can see that there. And what he's saying is, yes, Jesus, God incarnate in the flesh, came into this world, lived a human life, and then died as a human being. He experienced physical death, the same death that we face, and often seems to bring that biggest of shadows upon our lives and wondering, if God's love is going to still be there. Jesus experienced it, but he overcame it. He overcame it for us. So as we see how he, at the end of the Gospels, has that glorified resurrection body, we can know that that's what God is going to do for us as well, that that is in our future. James here picks up on that picture, but takes it a slightly different direction because he applies the title of first fruits to us. Now, how does that work? Well, if you're trusting in Jesus right now, as I'm trusting in Jesus right now, we look to Jesus and we see what we aren't yet experiencing. We see there is the promise. There is what God's going to do. He's shown he overcomes even death. And so I can know he's going to overcome death for me as well. That consistent love that's been demonstrated is going to do that. How are we first fruits then? Well, if we live as those who trust in that, who believe that, who have confidence in that, if we walk outside in the dark nights of our lives and we live knowing and we act knowing that God's love is still shining just as brightly, that shows to people that don't already know Jesus, who are already looking to him to try to understand how to make sense of their lives. It's saying to them, wait, here are people who've actually lived this, who have walked the walk, who have read God's word, studied God's word, or following God's word. And yeah, they're going through hard times still, but as they do, they've seen such consistency in who God is. It is like those times where the sun set. It's going to come back. And that's my prayer for us at Little Hills and the broader church, that we would live as those who are so clearly saying we know that God's love is going to continue to be there constantly, that we don't doubt whether the love of God is just as bright as ever before, that we live so truly and fully that way that people that don't yet know Jesus see us and want to know Jesus. And that's what James is referring to here. We can show that it's not just good in theory, it's good in practice. There are all kinds of things that are good in theory. For example, I've shared over the years that I like to overwinter some plants, some peppers. Last year I had a couple of tomato plants make it through, some ferns, different kinds of plants. And over the years, I usually take a few gallon jugs and I fill them up with water and I go down into the basement and I water the plants. Well, as I've accumulated more plants that have made it through the winter, it took more and more jugs. And I thought it'd be really nice if I didn't have to carry jugs of water down to these plants. And as it happens in the basement, there's a faucet that has a hose connection on it. I thought, there's my ticket. I'll just get one of those really compact fabric hoses that you can buy for your patio or what have you, hook it up, and then I can water the plants, and it's not such a big deal of carrying everything down, and it also won't take up all that much space. Sounded great in theory. One thing I didn't think about, though, is when you're outside, hoses often do leak a little, and certainly the contractible fabric hoses, well, they let a little water out as they're running, but it doesn't really matter that much because you're outside. It does matter when you're in a basement. You don't want water coming out of the hose as it goes past boxes and other things that you don't want wet. And so it sounded great in theory that this was going to be a really efficient way to get the plants watered. In practice, it didn't work. And a lot of times, people look at God's word and say, well, it sure sounds good in theory. I'd like to know there's meaning in my life. I'd like to know that there's hope beyond this life. I'd like to know that the loved ones I've already lost to death, I'm going to see them again. But then the question is it just theory or is it practice? Maybe you're here tonight and you're still debating that. And if you are, I hope that you'll keep joining us. I'd love to keep exploring God's word with you, because here's something that I love about God's word. As we look at it, we see over and over again how consistent God's word is. When I bought that hose, I didn't examine first if all kinds of people reported that it worked well in their basements. I probably would have had a hard time finding anyone talking about that even. It just didn't work when I actually tried it. But when we look at scripture, we see people over the millennia that have trusted in the Lord. They've followed him. And what do we see consistently? That God's love has flowed consistently to them. It hasn't leaked out and missed them. It's been there. And we look at the church after that. God's love has consistently been with his people century after century after century. So I hope that you'll stay and you'll explore God's word with me, because as we do, I think it will start to point to the way that God's already been showing blessing in your life. The very fact that you're here is a blessing. And I hope that maybe you can see that and say, well, maybe there's something to that. for those of us that have trusted in Jesus, I think there's a challenge here too. And that is that in those times that we start to wonder ourselves, because, and I'm right here with you on this, we do. We hit a bump. We hit a series of bumps and we wonder, is God pulling back his blessing? Is his love still bright? Can I trust in it? Doesn't mean that you don't have God's love. It's a natural thing we struggle with, but we have the opportunity to encourage each other and ourselves to keep looking at God's consistency throughout Scripture and consistency in our lives and say, God, would you give me the strength through your Holy Spirit to live when I walk out in those dark moments of my life? Would you give me the consistency to live knowing that your love hasn't dimmed, I just can't see it at the moment? That's the real challenge we have in this passage. And it's a challenge for each and every one of us that we can trust in Jesus. And there are going to be times it's nighttime in our lives. That doesn't mean that the burning, beautiful, illuminated love of God has dimmed. It means we just can't see it in the moment. And the more that God's Spirit works in us and enables us to live believing that, we show to the world that needs to hear it that this isn't just theory, it's practice. God's love is really dependable. We really can turn to it because God has been and he will be faithful. His love will not set. It will not dim. That's what we see from page one to the very last page of his word. Would you pray with me, please? Father, would you help us to be those who trust that you do provide the very refreshment that we need? Would you guide us, Lord, for those who might be here tonight that haven't trusted in you, even tonight, would you provide the confidence to trust in you? To see the consistency in your word of your love being shown over the ages. And for all of us, we struggle. We find those times that it feels very, very dark. And we wonder, is it going to be the time that your love doesn't rise back up in our lives? But Lord, would you assure us that your love never dims? And that even when it is dark because of the circumstances of life, that your blessing is not set forever. But it is still there. That your love is still there, that the brokenness and the pain and the worries and fears of this world, they might for us obscure your love, but it's shining just as brightly as ever, far more brightly, far more consistently than even the very sun that we see in the sky. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hope this has been an encouragement to you today, and if it has, would you please give us a like or a share? You really do make a difference by sharing these videos. Thank you so much for that. If you have any comments or questions, you can, of course, use the comments below or the prayer text line. You can text to 833-356-4032. That's 833-356-4032. And our prayer team would love to pray with you and talk with you. I love getting to do that, however you choose to contact us. It's such a blessing. Hope you have a wonderful and blessed week, and I can't wait to see you again next week.